Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Love Sport. Good afternoon, everybody. You are listening to The Bell and the Spurling.
With him, Martin Bell.
And him, Johnny of the Spurlings.
Yes.
I'm back in town.
He's back in town.
Miami for 3 weeks. Bing, bong, bash.
Yes.
And now I'm here.
Now you're here. All fresh, aren't you?
I am.
You're bouncing around, you are.
It's beautiful.
Like a newborn baby.
Coming up on The Bell and Spurling Show, we're going to have a recap of yesterday's sport, the Ashes cricket. Which is probably one of the best things I've ever seen.
No, since you've been away, it's a new one for that.
Go on.
Cricket.
Oh, right.
Yeah, cause for cricket, Critchard.
Yeah, like
cricket.
That's like the Essex version.
Yeah, yeah. Cricket.
That's a bit like Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricky.
Well, it is. Cricket.
I like it.
It gets more exaggerated as we go on.
I like it. We've got Harry... Harry Normanton. Sorry.
What?
Harry Normanton is coming on from
Harry.
From Wisden Cricket. I thought he said Norman Wisdom.
Norman Wisdom, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. He's going to come on and have a little talk about the Ashes. And obviously, we're going to be talking about Ben Stokes.
Well.
And what should Ben Stokes win?
Right. Well, what prestigious award. He should win the lot, really.
He should have everything.
He should have everything.
We've got a load of showbiz news coming up, and obviously we're going to talk about the Premiership and the results that happened at the weekend. Mm. West Ham won, Spurs lost. That's all we need to talk about. It's all coming up on the Bell and Spurling Show. We are here until 3 p.m. today.
We are. Look at you. You're like a kid with a new toy.
I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be honest.
Go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got jet lag.
Yeah.
Right.
Have you still?
So this is the middle of the day for me. Well, it is the middle of the day anyway, but
it is the middle of the day.
I could fall asleep at any point.
Well, that's normal for me. Isn't it?
That is true.
That's normal for me, Sam.
It is, yeah. No, it's really weird, the jet lag, isn't it? Because...
Yeah. I haven't been jet lagged for a while, but...
Yeah, but I haven't either, you know? It's...
It wasn't that, was it? Was it 8 hours of the flight, wasn't it?
9 hours.
Oh, yeah,
well, in fact, I'll tell you what, it was 11 going there because, unfortunately, we got on the plane and, unfortunately, somebody was ill.
Which is going there, isn't it?
Going there. Yeah. Somebody was taken off the plane and, of course, they've got to find their bags, right?
Yeah.
You try and find the bags with 350 people.
No.
And so we're sitting there for 2 hours. Then... Two of our screens didn't work in the seat. So
that's not good.
Well, it is good for my wife and my daughter because they got moved up to business class.
Bumped up.
All right.
Yes.
They got beds.
Oh, beds.
Bone china.
Incredible, isn't it?
Incredible. Right. So they sat up there.
Is the food different up there? I suppose it is.
Oh, is it different?
Is it? Yeah.
Let me tell you. Right. What me and my son had.
Yeah.
Right. A fella came past and threw it at us. Right? It was like a boiling hot piece of tray, and he just threw it. He went, have that, slop.
Well, this is in kettle class.
In kettle class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't in kettle class, it was council house class. We didn't even have...
Yeah.
I was lucky we had a seat.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And upstairs, my wife and my daughter...
Mm.
Are laying in beds with beautiful blankets, beautiful pillars.
Wow.
Right?
Mm.
And they had food like you've... They had a menu, by the way. The fella come along, poured them champagne out and said, would you like to see the menu? She said, do what? A menu?
You what? I'm used to it being chucked at me.
We were downstairs. Yeah. I swear to you, I had a piece of cheese, right, that... I reckon a couple of mice have already eaten some of it.
Right.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh no,
it might have been Swiss.
I won't pay for food again on a plane.
Swiss cheese got holes in it.
Got holes in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah.
And so
half unusual for a big what was it, a jumbo?
It was jumbo. Yeah.
What?
You don't call them jumbos anymore, do they?
Don't they call them jumbos?
747, isn't it?
It's a jumbo, isn't it?
It is a jumbo, yeah.
Don't they call it a jumbo jet?
You don't hear it anymore, do you?
On the old jumbo.
What, you're on a jumbo?
It's a funny name, isn't it, jumbo?
When did you get over there? I've got jumbo. Because now you get the big 380s. You know, I mean, they're like a plumbo. It's a double jumbo.
It's a plumbo.
But yeah, listen. The fella did come up to me and said, "Look, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. This has only got a year left. This plane, it's quite old." No. That's reassuring.
Oh no, yeah. I don't like to hear that. Do
and
you?
The screens were terrible. Mm. On the way back, new jumbo.
Oh, right? A new jumbo.
Yeah, it was a jumbos. And we had a new one. New screens. And the flight was
well, one of those new ones where you get the three deck.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that's the A380.
Oh, is it?
We come back from Dubai on that. Yeah.
What's that like? But that's lovely, isn't it?
It's the same.
It's got a swimming pool and everything on there.
It's got a bowling alley. It's the same as the jumbo.
Yeah.
But
it's a plumbo.
It's a plumbo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's two decks, I think. And I was on the council house deck when we come back from Dubai. And a couple of the boys, you know.
They upgraded.
They were upgraded.
Yeah.
And I wasn't as famous as them. And so I was in the luggage. Yeah. Cargo hold.
At least you got home.
No, I do want to come back to a story, by the way, John, that's in the papers today, that because the BA have been striking lately.
Yeah.
And
there's
a strike at the moment, and the BA chief has decided to go on holiday.
Oh, that's nice of him.
So I hope he got the...
I already got a flight, a private jet.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking
everyone
about
else is
that.
Suffering.
But before we do, let's have a little talk about Ben Stokes, because I know that everybody's going to be talking about Ben Stokes today. But it's deservedly so. Right?
Well, cricket is one of the few games where you can where it absolutely makes a hero. Like, I mean, a proper 100% hero. I mean, obviously in football you have the goalkeeper and the penalty shootout where they can really be the hero. Mm. But in cricket you can, you know, like Steve Smith did for Australia the other week. Ben Stokes did it. He did it on his own.
I think you're right.
Incredible.
Hang on. No, you're right. You're 100% right with that. But I don't know whether he did this on his own. I think that most cricket fans will argue the fact that Jack Leach played a major part in this.
Yeah, of course.
Even though the fella's only picked up the bat last week, he played such an important part in it.
Yeah.
And it was so clever how Ben Stokes did this. Harry organised him and Jack Leach.
Yeah.
You know, look, for the likes of me and you, not the biggest cricket fans in the world.
No.
However,
yeah.
It became, you know, after the World Cup, fantastic. Ben Stokes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Great performance.
Well, it was looking like this was going to be a bit of a, you know, a damp squib. Damp squid. But it looked like, it was looking like that. Because on Friday, I mean, cricket, Critchard. I mean, he had the ump. My goodness me.
Did it?
Oh, he was coming in. There was almost thunder in it. You know, when somebody walks into a room, there's...
Well, it's the worst performance. I mean, we were bowled out for, what, 65, 67?
Oh, it was the worst.
It's the worst ever.
And Cal Albert sat here and watched it. It was incredible.
It's the second worst score versus Australia in 114 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's mental. And for that to happen, and then for us to win it.
Incredible. I mean, I can't, but when you came to, because I turned up at the gig last night, didn't I?
Yeah.
And
we had a wonderful Balan Sperlin gig last night.
We did.
At the Blue Boar. It was an outside gig. It was on the terrace.
Yeah.
And thousands turned up. Thousands of people.
That was a great gig.
Wonderful gig in the sun. And of course, we turned up. And we were talking about cricket straight away.
Well, I was, you know, keeping up with the Tottenham score as well.
Yeah.
I don't know why I bothered doing that. Mm. And you came in and said, we've won the cricket.
No, because most people...
Are you gone mad?
Most people had looked at that. Even I got back. I played football yesterday morning. And I come back. I was jet-lagged.
Yeah.
Went to a football match.
Yeah.
And felt terrible. And then... Come back and I thought, right, okay, let's just see how bad the cricket is.
Yeah.
And we needed 97 runs at that point.
Yeah.
And we just lost a wicket, so we got one wicket left.
Yeah. It just looked impossible.
And I just thought, you know what? What a shame.
Yeah.
And then it got down to 49. And at one point, my wife said to me, why are you still watching this? And I said, I'm going to get ready for the gig soon. I said, yeah. But I'll just watch it. I just want to see how far he can get.
That's it.
And then suddenly, boom. Wow. He's getting down. We're like 28 or something. Hang on a minute. I think I will leave my bath for a while. I shall turn up at the gig later.
Yes. Right? And had a bath, did you?
I had a cold bath yesterday.
Yeah, cold bath?
I had a cold bath.
Why not a cold shower?
I like a bath, don't I?
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like a
gets
shower.
Involved, doesn't it?
No, but you just in all your dirty water, ain't you?
No, I'm clean.
Well, you know what I mean.
No, I love a bath. It's beautiful.
Dear.
Yeah, I love a bath.
I've had a bath since I was about 12.
No, it's strange. It's not a shower.
You know, I'll tell you the reason why I haven't had a bath. Mm. Can't get it.
Can't get it.
Can't get out of it.
You can't get out.
Can't get out.
No. What about?
Well, I don't know now. I haven't tried lately.
What about one of those crane things at the side of the bath?
Yeah, I'll look into that.
It's sort of the Stena chairlift of baths.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yeah. But I like the shower.
A harness. I thought I'll put the bath off.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there was this over where he hit 2 sixes and a 4.
Yeah.
And then you thought, hang on a minute, it's good.
Yeah.
But he's getting a bit one day international here.
Yeah.
He's going for big slogs.
Yes.
Right? Rather than just sit tight for a minute, Ben. Right, I'm not telling you how to suck eggs, Ben, but sit tight for a little while.
Gee, what, have you ever sucked an egg? Not nice.
Not really.
It's not nice at all.
It's not, is
no.
it?
No.
I mean, if you...
I'd rather eat them.
Rather
it's
eat them,
right. It's not right to suck them.
Not really, no.
Cool, no. Carry on. I always think, when people say I'm not telling you how to suck eggs,
yeah.
I can't think of sucking eggs. I'm thinking, what's that all about?
It's true.
Suck eggs.
We should try and find out. Let's ask Max Producer, can we find out
what
terminology comes from, sucking
eggs? Yeah, what does it mean to suck eggs?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not pleasant.
It's not, especially if they're pickled.
Oh, I don't mind a pickled egg.
Ah, there you go.
I love pickled eggs, but I wouldn't suck them.
No?
No, I'd have to eat them.
Yeah. I can well see that. I can see it happening. So I thought, right, is it 2 sixes? Is it a 4? And I thought, just sit tight for a while.
Yeah.
And then, how he orchestrated the fact of... He didn't want Jack Leach to be in bat, obviously, because the fella, he was a carpet fitter last week.
Yeah.
He don't really know what's happening. And he kept thinking... And he would sort of get him... So they'd spin the bowl around, obviously, after each over. And
yeah.
He would just make it so that he'd get a one and go up. It was so clever how he'd done it, you know?
I did watch a few, and I tried to go. I must admit, at the gig last night, I had a few sherbets. And got home and collapsed on the bed and got bitten all night.
Did you?
Oh, my God. I am itching like mad.
What was her name?
Tracy.
Tracy?
Yeah, she's a nice girl from Upminster. I dropped her off this morning. Biting me all night, she was.
It's terrible, isn't it? I know the fella you're talking about. I must just say, it must have been hard for Ben Stokes yesterday.
Yeah, of course.
Because he's ginger.
Yep.
Okay.
You know.
And it was very hot out there.
Very, very hot.
I mean, the freckles were coming out. I mean, you know.
For any ginger, it's very, very difficult.
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough. And for him especially, being out there for so long.
Yeah.
You know?
He must be like a frazzle today.
He was, yeah. I bet he's, he's parched.
He's parched. Yeah.
Love Sport. So we've been talking about the Ashes and the wonderful Ben Stokes. Amazing performance yesterday. It is dominating today. It is the buzzword, Ben Stokes. He's going to win the Oscar.
We've got to win the Ashes, though.
He's going to win
it to stick.
He's going to win a BAFTA. MTV Award. All right. Okay.
Well, at the moment, he's winning a British Soap Award.
Yeah. Smash It's Poll Winners Party.
Smash It's Poll Winners. He'll win the Oscar. We get the Ashes.
Yeah.
He's got the Oscars in the bag.
Golden Globe?
Oh, yeah. Emmy.
He should win a Golden Globe because he's got golden... He is a Golden Globe,
He's a golden boy.
He's a ginger... He's a bit gold, you know.
He's a bit gold, yeah.
And listen, yesterday on the fans show, they had a chat with Monty Panesar.
Oh, yeah.
A former England cricketer. And this is what he had to say.
Yeah, it was absolutely unbelievable. You know, you thought at one point Australia would have won this. And then Ben Stokes, you know, the superhero, just out of nowhere, just smashed the ball everywhere. And the whole nation will be buzzing about cricket now.
Yeah. I mean, Monty, you were a tail ender yourself. And we're involved in some kind of wonderful Ashes moments and England moments, you know, as a batsman. So talk us through kind of towards the back end of this innings where you saw Ben Stokes playing the way he was, but everyone was kind of falling by the wayside, weren't they? That it was just about keeping Ben Stokes in. Have you been in a situation with that before where you know that you've just got to keep your wicket and allow the other person at the other end just to keep scoring those runs?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you've got to do. You just got to get bat on ball, make sure, you know, if it's at the stumps, play with a straight bat, just away from the stumps, and you just leave the ball. So, yeah, it actually simplifies it, for the number 11, while Ben Stoke does all the hard work, doesn't he? Just whacks it around everywhere. And, he's just been unbelievable, bowling 15 over straight in that spell. And he must be absolutely exhausted, but he wants it, you know. He wants these special moments and people to remember him by.
Monty, thanks so much for coming on. Andy here. Talking about being that 11th man and trying to keep Ben Stokes or whoever it is on strike. You do all of the hours in the nets. You face all of the balls that you can ever possibly imagine to prepare you for that kind of thing. But can you ever train for that moment? You can't put the pressure on you in practice to face that kind of pressure, can you?
That just comes, the cricket that you play, how hard you put into yourself. And you can see with Ben Stokes, he wants to bowl the ball. He tries his, heart out. And then also, same with the batting. Like, you put him in a real challenging, under-pressed situation where the odds are against him, and he wants to deliver. He wants to show the world, what the real Ben Stokes is all about. And this is what Ben Stokes is. You know, he is this once-in-a-generation cricketer, and he's just unbelievable.
Can you tell us who you feel would have faced more pressure standing next to those bales when facing the bowler? Jack Leach or Ben Stokes when they're on strike? Who would have been feeling the nerves more? It's almost like Ben Stokes doesn't feel nerves. I'm sure he possibly does. But you've been that 11th man. What would the nerves be like facing that ball?
Ben Stokes must be talking a lot with Jack Leach and just telling him, make sure you this is how to play it. And at one moment, he was going to get run out. And Ben Stokes couldn't believe it. Nathan Lyon got the hold of the ball, run out, game over. So you can see that the number 11 is always under the nerves and, feels that extra pressure as well, because they know if they give their wicket away, obviously game over. But if Ben Stokes gets out, it doesn't matter. He's just chancing his arm and everything's just coming off. So there's a lot more pressure on Jack Leach than Ben Stokes, I would say.
Yeah, and so, but people have been comparing Monty, obviously, what he did at the World Cup. I mean, for you, what was better? What was more impressive?
I would say both. We won the World Cup, first time it's ever happened. The irony is that in 81, Ian Botham did it, and now Ben Stokes did it 2019. So, both cricketers are of similar magnitude, and you can see that Ben Stokes just you can't keep him out of the game, and he just wants, either batting or bowling. He's able to adapt, like he played that long innings, grafted, and at the end he just smashed it everywhere. You can see that, he just doesn't want to be known as a one type of cricketer. He wants to be, able to do everything in the game, and that's what Ben Stokes can do. He's just batting, bowling, fielding. He can do everything.
It's so many seesaw moments in that test, Monty. Touched on it a moment ago, the Lyon moment where Nathan Lyon was about to catch the ball, about to take the bales off, and somehow it just squirted out of his hands and kept it alive for England. As a bowler yourself, can you talk about that moment? What went wrong there for Australia?
I think they, Tim Payne, first time probably been under pressure like this. He didn't have the likes of Steve Smith there to help him out and work out what our game plan is going to be, how we're going to get him out. And I think it was like a 2020 match. I think they should have gone into 2020 mode, and they were bowling length balls, bowling like it was a test match cricket. And I think he got his game plan completely wrong. He should have changed his game plan and thought this is like a 2020 match, and let's play it like that. All we need is one wicket. But I think, he tactically got his tactics completely wrong, and the bowler should have been looking to, bowl wide Yorkers, slower balls, all the sort of arrays of skills that you need in 2020, and played the match like that. And I just think he tried to bowl length balls and told his bowlers to bowl length balls, and they just went out of the park.
When would you have started playing that sort of 2020 cricket if you're the Australia captain? When would you have liked to have gone
Ben
for the jugular?
Just giving it a whack, because that's it. You know, you've got to switch quickly, and that's match awareness. That's just the feel of the game. You know, not everyone has that. Only the greats of cricket have this. You know, they sense that this is what's happening, and they switch. Not all players can do that. There's a lot of good players around. There's a lot of, you know, good captains, good teammates. But that feel for the game, you know what's going to happen. Tim Payne, he's relatively inexperienced in captaincy. You know, don't expect, you know, too much from him. You know, the likes of Steve Smith, if he was on the field with him, probably could have helped him. But, you know, he's obviously, you know, done a tremendous job from what he is as a player and as a cricketer. But, you know, I think he should have just went into 2020 mode and just tried to bowl 2020 style to Ben Stokes. I think it would have been a different ball game.
You must have been in a position, as Nathan Lyon was, receiving that ball ready to run someone out. Does he just take his eye off the ball as it's fielded to him? Does it just squirt out of his hands? Is it just one of those things? What went wrong in that moment, Monty?
It's many things, you know. There's the pressure, there's the context of the match. Sometimes, you know, people are not so relaxed. They're quite tense and, you know, desperately wanting things to happen. And when that moment comes, they spill it. That's the individual cricketer. You know, it's their responsibility how to remain calm under pressure, how to keep delivering their skill and not be nervous. And that's like something, you know, you learn as you play international cricket. And these things happen. You know, they'll learn. You get, as we all do, we all know, we get better. The more we play under, you know, intense matches, you just grow as a cricketer. So, yeah, I'm sure everyone's learned so much from this game, and I'm glad we won the game, England.
Yeah, I mean, at certain points, Monty, throughout this series, there's been certain people who have taken all the headlines. Initially, it was Steve Smith for his wonderful batting performances, you know, single-handedly winning Australia the first test. And then we had Jofra Archer, a couple of incredible spells, you know, people suggesting that, you know, maybe the best or potentially the best bowler in the world, Steve Smith. There's no argument that he is the best batsman. So I suppose now with Ben Stokes taking these headlines, where do we put Ben Stokes, the best all-rounder in the world?
I think he's still way to prove that. You know,
what does he have to do, Monty?
Well, he has to consistently deliver like this. Then you look at the likes of Ian Botham, who's taken over 300 Test wickets. Who's you know, look at his record. Now, you know, he needs to, when he finishes his cricket, his record needs to match with the greats of all other all-rounders. You can't just, you know, have like this one amazing innings and then think he's the best all-rounder in the world. Like, he's got to do it consistently over a period of time. Like Scott Ian Botham, Imran Khan, you know, Kapil Dev, these were the, you know, the great all-rounders. Garfield Sobers, you know, Sir Garfield Sobers, you know, he used to bowl left-arm spin, left-arm seam, and then hit the ball as well. So he's got to now, you know, he's got so much talent. It's up to him. Like, he's got to think, where's my goal? Where do I want my name to be once my career's over? How many test wickets do I want? How many runs do I want? And then, you know, once his career's over, if it's in that same bracket, then you'll say, yeah, he was one of the greatest all-rounders.
So, looking forward, because we've had a few occasions where either England or Australia, because this series, the whole series just swung from day to day, hasn't it, where we feel like somebody is now taking control to the point that we think that team's going to go on and win the series. Now try kind of look, effectively the halfway point, it's 1-1 with two tests left. How do you see it, Monty? How do you call it? Or is it impossible to call?
I think Steve Smith will be back, and it depends. You know, Jimmy Anderson will be back at Old Trafford again. It feels like it's 1-1, but it's like, right, we've got two test matches to go now, and it's like a new two-match series now. You know, this is 1-1, and it's going to be, people got a week's break, and everyone's going to be, you know, fresh. It feels like the first test match of the Ashes again at Old Trafford. That's how it's going to be. It's a new two-match test series, and it all starts from fresh again. So, you know, this is all 1-1 now, but I think Jimmy Anderson coming back, Steve Smith coming back, is going to add a bit more mix to it. And this is brilliant, you know, since the Premiership is coming along, everyone talks about the top four all the time in Premiership. Here, cricket's keep dominating the headlines, and we've got to keep doing it until the Ashes is over, because then after that, we know football takes over the front pages.
Yeah, so just lastly then, Monty, talk to us about Old Trafford. You know, everyone was talking about the Edgbaston crowd, how England had this incredible record, and then you've got the home of cricket down at Lord's. What's Old Trafford going to be like for this Ashes test?
Well, yeah, I think Old Trafford is an amazing atmosphere. It has an amazing atmosphere to it, and also the pitch is quite lively. It's probably the best pitch that you have in the country in terms of pace, spin and batting as well. So you can, you know, produce some of the great test matches. You know, 2005 was a great test match there. I've had a lot of success bowling at Old Trafford. And, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if England looked to even bring back Moeen Ali, because there could be a possibility of playing two spinners there. The wicket does turn, and he seemed to have his, you know, confidence back in the last T20 match. So, you want to sort of have a look at the pitch and make that decision, but it's always nice to, you know, have that extra armoury, because that's what Old Trafford does. You know, it's got more pace than other pitches around the country. So, again, expect another lively, even contest, at Old Trafford.
Sorry, Monty. Now Australia have seen that Goliath run total disappear, turn to ashes, literally, by Ben Stokes. How psychologically will that affect them in the next test?
Oh, they're going to probably think and assess their a game plan. They'll think, you know, where did we go wrong? You know, we bowled them out for 67 and still lost the test match.
You know, it's incredible when you say it, isn't it?
That's the funny thing of it. It's like they got bowled out for 67 and they still won the test match. And it was against Australia, so it just feels even better when we say that, don't we?
Incredible, incredible. We're just watching Ben Stokes' helmet smashed to pieces, and that was really early on in his innings, and yet he still batted on. You know, he must have been seeing all sorts of stars when that clouted him on the head, and to dig in and to dig in and then pull out the innings that he did, the amount of boundaries, eight sixes I think he hit, incredible stuff.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, you know, these kind of things. You don't I think it's IPL really, 2020 IPL and T20 cricket around the world. It's made players just, you know, produce this kind of unbelievable innings out of nowhere and start playing T20 style, and that's what he did. Mm. And people talk about, oh, it's Test cricket, you know, we should just one day just keep focusing on T20, that's where the future lies. But to be honest, the future, you know, without Test cricket, you know, games like this is what keeps the cricket alive.
Yeah.
What does he know?
Yeah. What does he know? No, he's right, though. He's right. He's absolutely right.
Monty Panesar there.
Yeah. I mean, what does he know about it?
What does he know about cricket?
He's a carpet cleaner, isn't he?
he's only played the game at the highest level.
Yeah, he don't know nothing.
I was just listening to there. Incredible. I thought, you know, what does he know?
What do you know, Monty?
Fantastic. Nah, brilliant. Fantastic. Monty Panesar there with Cricket Critchard on the fan show yesterday. On Love Sport Radio.
It gets the ump, by the way. Cricket.
Cricket.
What? Cricket Critchard.
For calling him Cricket.
My name is not Cricket.
It is now. Just in saying that, I'll just come back.
Yeah.
I remember years ago.
Yeah.
Listen,
well, you're that old, you can remember years ago. Yeah.
Monty Panesar spoke so brilliantly there about the cricket.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he's got an amazing knowledge. And years ago, we were on the Norfolk Broads, me and all the boys, and years ago. And we hired out two boats. And we'd been out for the night and we moored up in...
What was it like doing that? I never did that.
It's fantastic. You never came on that trip. That was.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a weekend, yeah.
I was meant to come on that,
So there were 16 of us on two big 40-foot boats.
That's right.
And we moored up in Lowestoft.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was wonderful weather. It was a bank holiday weekend okay? And
this is record-breaking, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. And it was just great weather, and we all went to a nightclub and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the next day, one of our mates, who, let's just say, he's of the lower knowledge of things.
You mean he's at the kind of a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he's at the proper echelons of Essex, and it's basic thinking.
Basic thinking.
And he said, why don't we go to Yarmouth? Now this is like 4:30.
I do know who we're talking about. Right, yeah, okay. Of course I do.
Now it's about 4:30. It's about 4:30 in the afternoon. It's beautiful sunshine. We're moored up in Lowestoft.
Yeah.
We're having a wonderful day. We've all had a kick about. It's been brilliant. And we all said, no, look, I'm going to say his name. His name's Andy.
Yeah.
Okay. And I said, "And look, we're all happy here, right? No, let's go to Lowestoft. Let's go to Yarmouth." And we said, "Look, it's what's the point? It's fantastic." And we went, "We never make it."
Yeah.
"What do you mean we never make it?" I said, "Well, you're not allowed to drive these boats, you know, after dark."
Yeah.
And shut up. Of course we'll make it. So there's about five or six of us sitting there, and we call the harbour master over.
Yeah.
Okay. Harbour master over. Now, I'll just give you a picture of the harbour master. He's got the curly moustache. He looks like Captain Birdseye. Okay. He's about 70, and we call him over, and we said, "Harbour master, do you think we will make it to Yarmouth if we leave soon?"
Right.
And he said, "Oh," he said,
let me
think. He said, the current is flowing at 4 miles per hour against you. He said, there's a southwesterly wind.
Yeah.
He said, that's blowing at 12 miles. He said, now, sun goes down at 7:53. He said, the boat you've got there will only do 4 mile an hour. He said, you've got a current flowing against you.
Yeah.
He said, it's currently flowing at 2 miles per hour.
Not looking
he
good.
Said, no, he said, he said, you're not going to make it. And Andy said, what does he know?
You didn't try and do it.
We didn't go. Do you know what? And it just reminded me of Monty Panesar there talking, you know, and you sort of go, what do you know? What do you mean, what do I know?
He's giving you, the sun goes down at 7:53. Exactly. He's giving you, when the wind's at 2 miles per hour, what does he know?
I said the fella was born. He was born on the river. He's not left it. Listen, when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the Premiership results.
Love Sport.
You are back with Bell and Sperling, and what a day it is. It's 300 degrees outside.
It's lovely in here, though.
And I've just come back from Miami, and I honestly believe it's pretty similar weather at the moment.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
You know? And I said to you, I've sort of went all around Florida for the last sort of 3 weeks and got different temperatures, if you like.
Yeah.
And last couple of days in Miami were absolutely baking. Come home, you always land on the plane and you think, oh, it's going to be freezing outside.
Yeah.
Go outside. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Unbelievable weather.
Incredible.
It's going to be nice all week.
Is it?
The temperature's going to drop.
Snow at the weekend?
No. About 25, 26 the rest of the week and then 23. I like that. That's just comfortable
for me. I guarantee I'll be in Decathlon at the weekend getting ski gloves. I'm telling you.
It's 30 at the moment. In London, and it's in Marbella, 25.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. In Murcia.
Murcia.
It's Murcia.
I know it is. Yeah.
Even in Murcia, which is the...
We say Murcia, don't we?
No, I say Murcia.
Yeah, because you've got something wrong with your teeth.
Even there, which is the hottest part of Spain, that's 28.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's the hottest part
Texas
of Spain.
Texas is 25.
Texas, right. You got any more? You got any more there?
Ibiza 28.
Right, okay.
So we are hotter than all of those countries.
Okay, all right. Just to recap, Johnny Sperling said before we went to the break that Newcastle fans will be the happiest people.
No, you said Tony Gale. Look, you said Tony Gale. There won't be anyone happier than Tony Gale. I said, yes, there will. A Newcastle fan.
Oh, yeah, because they beat Spurs.
Because they beat Spurs.
I thought you meant West Ham were playing Newcastle.
No.
Right, okay. All right. Yeah, you're probably right. We should try and get Tony Gow on today.
Yeah.
We were just about to have Josh Rom on, our entertainment...
But he's not... Answer your phone, Josh.
Get your phone.
Answer your phone.
Hang on a second.
What?
Hang on a second.
Go on.
As I just said, I'm back from Miami.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's nice and... It's been beautiful and hot.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right? We get back to London. It's beautiful and hot. And I thought, do you know what? Come back on my first day back on the show... I do want to talk a bit of entertainment because I see some mad stuff out in America while I've been there. And we are now joined by Josh Rom, Entertainment News.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the
show.
Actually,
we've got a jingle, haven't we? Entertainment News.
I think we have got. But Max Producer is going to try
Max
and find
Producer
it.
Max Producer will find it. We'll play it afterwards. Josh!
How are you?
I'm good. Good afternoon, you guys. How's Miami?
We haven't spoke to you for a while, Josh.
I know it has been a while. I've missed you guys. How was Miami? I've been so jealous.
It was fantastic, I have to say, Josh. Obviously started in Miami, then went all over Florida, went to Naples, Clearwater, all the bits and pieces, done the old Disney bit, and then back on the East Coast.
You went to Clearwater. You weren't inducted into Scientology, were you?
Oh, no.
Because that's where the big base is.
I know, yeah. I mean, there's some... Yeah. I've got to tell you, I've met some mad people... in the States. I haven't been there for a few years and met some mad people, but all fantastic. But yeah, didn't get involved in the old Scientology bit.
Quite
a beautiful place though, Clearwater. Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be stunning.
Fantastic sunsets.
Let's talk about Colleen Rooney.
Yeah.
She's insisting husband Wayne rips up his football contract, leaves the US early after his latest party shame. Tell us more about that, Josh. What's going on?
Yeah, so it's been claimed that he has done a few bits with more ladies.
Very suddenly put.
Josh, I like it.
Ladies.
Ladies. He famously slept with the former Big Brother contestant Helen back in the day. He has never learned from his ways. So there's been a scandal. There's been a bit of a scandal.
Since that air transplant gave him confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, the air transplant. Yeah, the air transplant gave him a lot of confidence, didn't it?
Yeah, probably. And he probably were like, yeah, I'll go out and celebrate this hair transplant. Well, it's never a good idea when Wayne goes and celebrates, no. Is it, boys? So, I mean, listen, whether he's done the deed or not, who knows? But Colleen is remaining defiant. She's insisting that it's not true, whatever. You know, it's the same thing that happens all over again, over and over and over again. Wayne's been a naughty boy. Colleen emerges as the press's victim, and then they come back together, have a happy reunion, and then it all goes over and over and over again. So,
it is strange. You just said that you know, he's been a naughty boy and she's the victim for saying we've got to go home now because you're being a naughty boy. But, you know, there's every chance nothing's going to change when they come home. So
Exactly. I mean, listen, the London clubs are just as bad as the LA one.
Without a doubt.
Full of rich people, full of beautiful people. Exactly. What's the guy going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only difference in America is you have to tip.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe it's a bit more expensive. But listen, compared to London, the drinks are a bit cheaper out there.
Yes.
London is extortionate.
Yeah absolutely agreed. It is. Josh, let's move on. A delicate subject. I don't really want to go into details here, but just give us the latest on the Jeffrey Epstein affair. What's the latest there?
Well, I mean... The latest is that Prince Andrew denies that he had knowledge of Jeffrey Epstein and his so-called alleged... How should we put it?
Well, it was the Lolita Express, they put it, didn't they? Is that the... Yeah.
Yeah, well, basically, Prince Andrew's basically released a statement saying that he didn't see Epstein that much during the year. They were kind of friends, but they didn't see each other much, whatever. He didn't have as much communication with him, and he had no knowledge of his involvement in, let's say, disreputable actions, shall we say. So, I mean, that's basically the latest. There's been loads of talk specifically about Prince Andrew. His the Duchess of York, it's been reported that they're back together, and so she is very much sticking by him.
Hang on a minute, Josh. They're back together?
It's been reported that they're back together.
Wow.
And quite controversial is, as the scandal was emerging, the Duchess of York and Prince Andrew then went on a trip, they were spotted at an airport getting onto and off of a private jet and whatever. So, yeah, very, very much. They've always been reported to have a close relationship.
Yeah,
but
I did
been
hear
reported
that, yeah.
Recently that they're back together.
Wow.
Now, whether or not this is to kind of distract from the scandal, that can't be said. And we aren't to know that. But however, it's a smell that isn't going away to the royals, the scandal, basically. Mm. Especially after, Jeffrey committed suicide the day that documents were going to be released.
Mm.
So
yeah, it's a strange... That happened while I was in the States, actually, and it was... Obviously, it's big news all over the world, but yeah,
I was going to ask how... Because there's been a lot of reports that obviously, we in the UK are very sceptical about Prince Andrew. How are the US reacting to the story and the way in which they're viewing the royals? Do you know?
I don't really. I'll be honest with you. I spent most of the time on the beach.
Fair enough.
But all I would say is that I don't think that the royals could put a foot wrong anywhere in the States. You know, they just love the royals so much. It doesn't matter where you go. It's almost like someone goes, oh, you're from England. Do you know the Queen?
Well, they normally say, hey, do you know Billy Bailey? He lives in Liverpool. Do you know him? I expect you to know that.
We just lost you.
We just lost you a minute. So start again.
I've got a very funny story.
Yeah.
So when I was, this was around the time of Kate Middleton's wedding, and I was in Los Angeles.
Josh, we're losing you. We're losing
Josh,
you.
Josh, we're getting that bit where it's going.
Josh, I tell you what, can we get Josh back in the second half?
Yeah.
Can we get back in the second hour? It's only we're losing you a bit, Josh.
Yeah, we want to hear this story, Josh. Can you come back to us?
If we can come back in the second hour, it'd be great. We're going to get Josh Ron back in
just
the second
after
half.
The news, we will, yeah.
Just to hear this funny story.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We're losing him a bit there, weren't we?
No, it's a funny situation, being in the States, and I think he's quite right. They were the Epstein thing was all over the news. But I saw the little hints of Prince Andrew and stuff. But there's no real facts, is there?
No, there's not.
There's no real facts. And I'm not being funny. If you ever see Prince Andrew anywhere, he's going to get packed. Love Sport. Listen, we are talking about Ben Stokes. We are talking about the cricket. One of the most unbelievable performances yesterday. And this morning, Paul Dennett, Aussie cricket writer, was on The Breakfast Show. And this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I've been better. I've got some friends who are in a very bad place. Someone said he's been feeling physically sick all day. And I've been listening to some of the phone-ins over here on the radio. It's kind of like a group therapy session where people are just ringing up to sort of share the disappointment. So, yeah, it's totally dominating the conversation in Australia. There's an awareness that it was an amazing game and that Stokes has played one of the all-time great innings. But there's obviously a lot of focus on how Australia had two magnificent chances to win it right at the end, and it just didn't happen.
And is the captain Payne coming in for some criticism for going to a referral for that that ball that was outside leg stump?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And it was interesting hearing him himself talk about it, saying that Pat Cummins had said to him, the bowler had said to him, that the only thing that he thought was wrong with it was that the batsman might have hit it. And Payne himself thought it was pretty plumb and then said maybe he needs his eyes checked. And I think Australia is saying, yeah, well, maybe you do. But it's also, I think there's a lot of a degree of annoyance that the umpire didn't give it out as well, knowing that England had that one review. Yeah. That maybe, you're not supposed to think about this as an umpire, but if I was the umpire, I would have given it out thinking, well, if it's not out, England will review it and I can kind of save myself then. So Payne will come under some criticism, but, you know, I think that there's, as I said, a realisation that Stokes was just amazing.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting point. That's what, as you can imagine, it's one that we haven't considered at all here in England. That they could, yes, you're right, had he named it out, England then would have, of course, they'd have appealed. England would have lost the appeal, and of course, England, Australia would have won the Ashes. Look, we're going to try and be as gracious as we can be here, because we are, you know, of course, we'll try our very best. But that was it for me, and we were talking a lot about, of course, we had the incredible World Cup final just a matter of a few weeks ago, and the way the climax of that, which was just insane. And it was the same yesterday, where it just seemed as the run started to be knocked off and it was getting lower and lower, you just thought, just maybe. But that being said, and I guess this is the biggest frustration from an Australian point of view, you had so many chances. The drop catch, the LBW that should have been given, the run out must have killed you.
Yeah, that run out. I mean, Nathan Lyon in this match went past Dennis Lilly with 355 plus test wickets, and you'd be thinking that he should be celebrating that. Instead, it's going to be something that he'll remember for the rest of his life. Obviously, if Australia can somehow win one of these last two test matches and still regain the Ashes, it won't be quite so bad. But it just, in hindsight, there seemed a certain inevitability about it, that Stokes hit three or four wonderful shots, but that only, that, you know, that he wasn't clearing the boundary by 20 yards. He was clearing the boundary by 2 or 3 yards. Yeah. So there were so many times when the ball was in the air and you thought, is this going to be caught? Is this going to be caught? Thrilling viewing.
I tell you what, Paul, I was impressed with, as much as I sort of joke and laugh about the wanting to beat the Aussies. I thought at the end of the game, credit to Payne and all his players who went over to Stokes on the pitch, shook his hand, and some of them gave him a hug. And the staff of the Australian team were all there by the boundaries they came off. I was impressed by that. I thought that showed a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Class, really, yeah, class.
Yeah, I agree with you, Martin. And I think that even in Australia's worst sort of bad boy era of sport where there's too much, where there's been too much sledging and too many send-offs, they've always been pretty good at that, that once the game's over, they sort of have a real white line fever that then retracts and they're kind of, they can go as hard as you like on the field, but as soon as the game's over, they can be quite gracious and can be quite dignified. And ultimately, it was such an incredible innings. In a match where England had been bowled out for 67, to then see someone pilot them home to their greatest runs chase in 142 years of history, you've just got to say, well played.
Yeah. Do you know, I just got to ask one on Steve Smith. Of course, he'll be back for the next test.
Which is a shame, isn't it?
It's a shame. You know, but in a weird way, and I'm sure that, of course, Steve Smith would have wanted them to win yesterday, I'm sure. But in a weird way, this is, you could look at so many different narratives that are going on. On one hand, if England go on and win the Ashes now, of course, Ben Stokes and Jofra Archer and many of the England players will be absolute heroes for forevermore, the likes of Ian Botham and whoever else. However, looking at it from the other side of things, if Australia do come back and Steve Smith is the reason, then again, the fact that he missed out in a strange way is now back on him to be the hero.
It's one of the great things about sport that does strange things to the human mind. It's the sort of emotion that I think maybe deep down, he wouldn't be human if he wasn't thinking that way. He could never admit it, but exactly that. If he comes back, gets full redemption, wins the Ashes, then he'll look back on this maybe with a sneaking sort of happiness that it transpired this way. Who knows? Maybe some of the substitutes were feeling the same way. If I was Mitchell Starc, maybe I'd be slightly pleased that maybe there's an opening for me to get back in the side. As I said, you could never ever admit that, but we watching on from the side can speculate that maybe they are.
Perhaps it's going to be a massive mental test going into these next the next match. What's the gap now between the next game, next test?
10 days, I think.
10 days. So they're going to get a chance to regroup, probably rest, and then get back on the training pitch and get doing their stuff. But it's going to be a tough one for them with the crowd baying for action now, and perhaps some self belief from some of the other players in that England team who haven't played, like Butler and Roy, to step up and maybe we've got to beat Australia, haven't we? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it was like with 81, where both of them were brilliant in the Headingley game, and Bob Willis as well. And then the next match at Edgbaston, Australia had it won, and both of them came on and took 5 for 1 and won the game. And then ultimately, they went on to win the Ashes. It's sort of every time that Stokes gets involved in the game in Manchester, if Australia are going well and suddenly he comes out to bat or comes on to bowl, if he starts to have a bit of success, then that whole mental scarring can reopen. But yeah, they have a nice break now and a game in Derby to get them over this. And I think they'll be up for it.
Yeah, I'm sure they will be.
Out of interest, what are the back pages in Australia saying?
Well, the amazing thing is that it actually made the front page, even though the print deadline was hours before. So in this era where print newspapers really haven't got much money to muck around with, they obviously held back. And at 2 a.m. they've done a print run. So it's the front page of The Australian. Stokes revives the ghost of Botham. So there'll be, you know, wall-to-wall coverage on tomorrow's papers, as there has been on all the digital outlets. And it's basically a combination of Stokes is amazing, but the two key moments, the run-out missed by Lyon and then the LBW, are clearly leading the news.
And just on Stokes, I know it's obviously you're from very much an Australian point of view, but for you, which innings was better, Stokes in the World Cup final or Stokes at Headingley?
You can't ask him that, Rich.
I'm guided by my producer here. I'm going to place all blame on him. I think he's trying to get me to wind you up a little bit here, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Stokes in the World Cup final or Stokes at Headingley?
The World Cup final was great, but this was better. That Test cricket, still for me, it's the prime form of the game. And the way that he went, I mean, he scored his first 2 runs off 50 balls and was playing against a top-class Australian attack. Then he accelerated through, and then that hitting at the end and the farming of the strike with the pressure, you know, any one slip-up and the Ashes are gone. the crowd giving standing ovations for Jack Leach defending balls, the way that he did it, I think this is a good innings, and maybe I'm just high on the moment of it all, but I'm struggling to think of a better innings that I've ever seen.
There you go, Paul Dennett there, Aussie cricket writer, talking on The Breakfast Show this morning. It must be really hard for Aussie fans today, cricket fans, like my son said to me, Dad, were there fights? And they weren't fights, because you don't really have fights at cricket. It's not like being at a football match in the 80s. But they must be reeling from that. It's, think it's all wrapped up and then fall at the last hurdle because we got this fella called Ben Stokes.
Love sports.
You've been listening to Ben and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.